Well, we've come a long way in a week, at least according to Scripture. It wasn't just Monday evening and we were celebrating the birth of Jesus. And in today's reading this morning, he's 12 years old. So time has passed, as often story and as Scripture relays it to us. And we join Mary and Joseph and Jesus, along with other family, relatives, and friends as they travel on an annual pilgrimage to Jerusalem. The scripture Luke tells us this is something they did every year for the Passover festival. And you can imagine traveling in those days wasn't always the safest thing to do. And so it's no surprise to learn that there was a large group of people going, traveling together for safety's sake. And they travel and they arrive in Jerusalem and they partake in the Passover festivities. And then they make the return trip home. And the worst nightmare of any parent comes true. Where's Jesus? Where is he? Where is our son? And they can't find him anywhere. And it tells us that Mary and Joseph didn't notice that he was missing until after the first day. And so then they spent the whole next day looking for him and didn't find him. And then they travel back to Jerusalem, so another day's travel. So it's been 3 days now. They're back in Jerusalem, no idea where Jesus is. And they tell us, and Luke tells us that it was then on the third day that they found him in the temple. So 6 days scrambling, searching, looking for Jesus, wondering where he is. Pardon me. And finally they find him in the temple. And Mary says to Jesus, "Son, why have you done this to us? Your father and I have been terribly worried trying to find you." I think that that's probably some rather tame language, or it might have been said with a rather shrill scream, like you can imagine. You know, if Jesus were my kid and he answered this way, I'd ground him, right? You know, why did you have to look for me? Like, as if you should have known where I was, right? You know, not taking serious, it seems, the panic they have, the concern they have. I mean, you've got to think about this. They know that Jesus is the Son of God. They know that Jesus is the Messiah. And maybe they should have clued in that, of course, he's going to be at the temple. But they feel this, as every parent does, this awesome burden of responsibility. That should something happen to your child, you're just devastated and beside yourself. What should I do? Even when you're not there and there was nothing you could have done to control the circumstance, you still feel guilt or badly when your child is hurt or injured or harmed in any way. And so you can imagine how they feel, and I can imagine how they would have felt if Jesus, when Jesus responded this way. Why did you have to look for me? And Luke tells us, but they didn't understand his answer. Even though they know who he is, they just, I think that shock is something else. And so they go back to Jerusalem. Jesus goes with them, and they leave Jerusalem, and they head back to Nazareth, and we discover that Jesus was obedient to them. So I'm assuming next year when they went to Jerusalem that Jesus didn't hang back for a couple of days. He went home with everyone else. And we read once again, his mother treasured all these things in her heart. And that's a passage that we see earlier in Luke's gospel when the shepherds and the angels are all around. Mary treasures these things. And Jesus grew both in wisdom and in body, gaining favor with God and people. And then, you know, from there, Luke's gospel launches into the ministry of Jesus. But it's that sense of comfort that Jesus felt when he was at the temple in Jerusalem, that intrigues me. And we shouldn't find it surprising that Jesus felt comfortable being in the temple, in his father's home, given he is the Messiah, the Son of God. That makes sense. But that sense of ease, I wonder how often it translates into our own children at the church. And of course, there's none here today because we said there's no Sunday school. And if all the other kids are like my kids, they didn't wake up anywhere near in time to get to church. And that's okay. Some rest is needed. But how welcoming are we always to children? How easy do we make it for them and for young families to integrate into church and to feel comfortable? And I'm thinking back to our 4:30 service on Christmas Eve, and the kids were a very large part of that. Some of them were chiming, and of course there was the pageant, which was a wonderful rendition of the Christmas story as we saw that reenacted. And I was particularly amused with Wendy's beard. I don't know if you caught that or not. She pulled her hair into a beard at the front. I just, little things like that of the way children see and interpret the story and are able to convey that. And I thought to myself, you know, since I was sitting back and I was watching that, and I thought to myself, how comfortable they feel, how welcome they feel that they can participate here with Logan and Jonah on the microphones and everyone playing their different roles and their parts, each to their strengths and their comfort levels, that they were so comfortable telling us this very important story. The story that is central to our faith about the birth of Jesus and the circumstances that surround all of that. And they just seemed so comfortable. And of course, we can think of other instances where the young people and the kids feel comfortable. When they were collecting the socks a week or so back, when they collect food on Fair Share Sunday, they have no problem just going around and collecting. Vienna, she has collected the, and you know Vienna, Vienna's four, she's collected the offering, and someone didn't put money in the plate, and she shoved the plate back in front of them, which is just such a delightful young thing to see from a young person. That person's no doubt on par, but she doesn't know these things, and so just, but that comfort level of, you know, you're supposed to put something in it, that's why I'm passing it. Is delightful, that they feel so comfortable and so welcome. Back at the Santa Claus parade, we had the hot chocolate booth, and Bob and Justin and John McDougall were a big part in getting the supplies of that running and making sure it was running. But the kids actually ran it. They poured the hot chocolate in the cups, they gave the hot chocolate to the customers, they took the money, and they gave the change. Right? All the adults did was make sure that the urn was filled with hot chocolate and that the tables got set up in the first place. And so that's it's a wonderful sense of comfort that they seem to have here, that they feel welcome, just as Jesus felt welcome in the temple in Jerusalem, sitting amongst the elders and learning and teaching. It's wonderful that our young people are also feeling so fully welcomed. Pardon me. I hope, and it's my prayer, of course, that we continue to find ways to include the young people and to make them feel welcome, to let them know that this is their church too, and that they're a big part of it. In fact, indeed, they're the future of this church and of our faith. And so it's so important that we nurture them. And of course, whenever we perform the sacrament of baptism, we take vows to say that we will instruct and we will teach them, these young people, about our faith. And so it's so awesome that our children feel so comfortable. And I hope that you will find opportunities to find time to chat with the kids and to get to know them. Some of my most meaningful relationships as I was growing up in the church came with the opportunity to chat with the elders of the congregation, with my Sunday school teachers, I can remember grade 7 and 8 in Sunday school when I grew up at Knox. You had Mr. Bell, and Mr. Bell was a retired Toronto police officer, giant of a man. And Sunday school class in grade 7 and 8 was ask Mr. Bell questions and he'll give you answers about whatever it is you ask to the best that he can, and try and weave faith into that, into the discussion, never a set lesson plan, and a drastic change from the previous year. So everyone looked forward to it, the precursor to youth group. And it's just wonderful, some of the stories and some of the encouragement that he gave. It's such a positive outcome on all of us who attended that. And that's a memory that all these years later, I carry with me of being in Mr. Bell's Sunday school class. And I hope that our young people will be able to think back, oh, I remember that time when, you know, Mr. Kerr taught me Sunday school. I know Justin's not here today, but, you know, or, you know, some of the other Sunday school teachers, some of our other elders. And I see the way some of you interact with them and chit-chat with them. And I encourage you to continue to do it. Having relationships amongst generational lines, I think, is so important and is something that is missing at large in society. This is, the church is one of the only places where it happens, where young people can sit down with someone 40, 50, 60, 70 years older or more, their senior, and have a conversation with them and feel welcome and included and valued in terms of their input. And so that's important, and I think we see that example pulled right out of Scripture with Jesus. And it's my hope and prayer that just as Jesus grew in wisdom and stature, that through our influence and the ability to have fruitful and good relationships with our young people, that they too will then grow in wisdom and in stature, that they'll come to understand their relationship with God, their Creator, and how Jesus Christ informs their living, and the Holy Spirit calls them forward to do good in the world, and to make a difference as Christians and as people of faith. That's what we're called to do with one another. But I hope as we focus this morning that we're able to do it with our young people. And that we can see how they grow. And so that's my prayer. And that's what I, as I read Scripture this week, that's what jumped out at me. And that's what I really just wanted to share these ideas and these thoughts with you. And I hope that as a congregation, we can look for opportunities to continue to do this, because that will just be a blessing to all. So thanks be to God. Amen.